Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Sparty Talk. I am your host, DV, doing it a little different this week. And I don't know if my esteemed colleague is on the line with me, because I'm doing this sort of half-arsed. Is my esteemed colleague Satchmo on the line there from some location in the United States?
Actually, you needed to make my mic live, man. That's all right. We're good.
Well, listen, this is Sparty Talk, and DB is running the controls. And this is a good segue, Satchmo, because this is kind of like, I'm kind of like Iowa, and you're kind of like Michigan State, and you're looking at Iowa right now, Satchmo, and it was kind of like looking at yourself in the mirror here, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like looking at myself in the mirror. It's like looking at the studio going, where's DB? But yeah, no, it was a weird football game, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely weird. I mean, it was like one of my Twitter comments on @SpartyTalk, by the way, cheap plug, was like Superman playing against Bizarro Superman.
Yeah, it was kind of like Superman playing against Bizarro Superman. But it seemed like, and I mean, this is just my general impression, but it seemed like if Connor Cook had been remotely healthy, we would have kicked the living daylights out of Iowa. But we couldn't throw the ball down the field. And, Iowa did a decent job of covering the receivers, but Connor Cook was just so inaccurate and just so off his game because he wasn't healthy that it just made life really tough and really hard on the Michigan State offense. And so I think we made an Iowa defense look – I mean, a good Iowa defense look better than it was.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you about Connor Cook. I think Satchmo, for one reason or another, that was never made clear afterwards, as far as we know, Connor Cook probably, and tell me if I'm wrong, maybe had his worst game of the season this year.
I wouldn't say it was his worst game of the season. I'd say it was least effective because, I mean, when you consider the injury problems he was facing, there was no zip on his ball, right? Normally that ball sails in. There were no shots down the field because he couldn't throw the ball 20, 30 yards down the field. And so everything was 5 yards, 10 yards, and you just couldn't get much out of him. I mean, now the throws he did make, that third down conversion where he tossed that into a tight window to Aaron Burbridge was just phenomenal. And that's what has the pro scouts drooling, and that's why he won the Johnny Unitas Award today. And so when you take a look at it, yeah, I mean, it was ultimately the plays he was able to make that helped get Michigan State to victory. It was a bit of a weird football game. All credit to Iowa for playing a good game, but I just feel like if Connor Cook was 100% healthy, this game is a rout. And I'm talking, the 45-10 variety, because Iowa didn't cross midfield in the second half except for the one deep pass play, but in the first half Iowa was moving the ball. I mean, if it wasn't for a freaky interception here and a turnover there, they would have had a lot more points.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, we're talking about Iowa a little bit, Satchmo, and I give their defense a little bit more credit. Their defense was really, really good. I mean, they were getting pressure on Cook against a good Michigan State offensive line. But the Spartans were able to run the ball, especially in that last drive, Satchmo. It looked like Mark D'Antonio decided, you want to know what? We're just going to run this thing. There was the beautiful pass from Cook to Aaron Burbridge on third down, where he just, as Gus Johnson said, I think it was Gus Johnson. He said he threw it into a shoebox, basically.
Yeah, well, it was a complete Gusgasm moment. But it actually started on the drive before, DB. And so everyone wants to talk about the 9-minute drive, which perfectly all right to make sense, but I actually started on a drive before when they were deep in their own territory and they just started handing the ball off to LJ Scott. And if you remember, I texted you, And what I texted you was, "And a child shall lead them." And then I followed that up with a text that just said, "Feed the beast." And if you take a look at some of the quotes at the end of the game, you had D'Antoni say, "Yeah, we just wanted to feed the beast." And those handoffs to L.J. Scott actually helped flip field position, so they could get a good punt in, get Iowa pin deep, get the ball back in a three and out, and then get the ball and so it helped flip field position to a certain degree. But it was a precursor to what was to come. D'Antoni found something. He says, "You want to know what? The offensive line is starting to take over this game." Because here's the other weird thing about this game. If you take a look at it from a statistical measure, this felt like the Michigan game, because Michigan State was actually dominating this game. They were dominating on defense. They were dominating on offense. The only place they weren't dominating was on the scoreboard. And even their special teams play was pretty good. If you take a look at Geiger's two misses, they came from 52 yards. You can't blame a kicker for missing from 52 yards. And one, he just stoinked off the crossbar. I mean, it just another inch and it goes through. So the special teams play was pretty good. So when you consider all of that sort of stuff, you're like, wow, Michigan State's clearly outgating them, time of possession. And you just had to wonder when that Iowa defense was going to wear out. And the answer to that question was the last drive of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you could see the Iowa defender, Satchmo, down deep in their own end of the field, hands on their hips. Kirk Ferentz called two timeouts to give him a breather. It was all physicality at the end of that.
Yeah, he called two timeouts at the end of the game to give him a breather and also to preserve time, because Kirk Ferentz sensed what sort of everyone else sensed, that Michigan State was going to punch that in, and they were going to need some time to go down and, let's be fortunate that the Michigan State defensive line came through and forced that fumble, because the Iowa kicker, he made one from 57 to win the game against Pitt. Ask Pat Narduzzi about what that Iowa kicker can do. The last thing we wanted was one deep ball and boom in field goal range and watch that ball go through the uprights. And so the defensive line came up big, forcing that fumble and really ending any chance Iowa had at getting in the field goal range and winning and for getting a tie at least. So yeah, good for Michigan State. I mean, and that drive that night and the next day, that's all anyone could talk about. 22 plays, more than 9 minutes. That's just unheard of at any level.
It was almost a thing of genius in that, it just seemed like Mark D'Antonio, as long as they kept getting first downs, of course, that was the key. But Mark D'Antonio just decided, Beathard's a pretty good quarterback, and I wanted to get your thoughts on him in just a second. But, he just said, we're going to keep the ball out of their hands, and we're just going to wind this thing down. And the Spartan defense got a nice rest there for 9 minutes, too.
Yeah, which was helpful. But, But this was about finding something on offense that was working, right? This wasn't about, I don't think this was about D'Antonio deciding we're just going to run it down their throat. They were searching the entire game, because they were moving the ball between the 20s, but once they got into scoring situations, they weren't able to move the ball. And so this was about D'Antonio saying, "You want to know what? The only thing that's worked for us on offense happened in the last possession, which was handing the ball off to L.J. Scott. So you want to know what? We're going to do that. And we're going to do it until we have to do something else."
Now,
I think that's what it was
good,
about.
Is there a good, winner says, Satchmo, in victory, they credit the opponent. And, of course, I give a lot of props to Iowa. But in particular, the quarterback, Beathard, what did you think of him?
Yeah, he got some tough breaks, right?
Yeah.
It is interesting. So I did a – Because I was out on the West Coast watching this game out in San Francisco. So after the game was over, I read all the Michigan State coverage. Obviously, I said, let me see what the Iowa people are talking about. So the Iowa people were still talking about that really freaky interception in the end zone where Riley Bullis separated the receiver from the ball. The ball ended up on the back of one of the Michigan State players. Was it Monte Nicholson or Demetrius Cox, or one of the Michigan State defenders picked up the ball for the interception? The Iowa people wanted Riley Bull to be called for targeting on that play.
Yeah, I remember that play, yeah.
Yeah, they thought, and they're still a bit bitter about it, but they thought that it was helmet-to-helmet contact. It should have been targeting, and that Iowa should have gotten the ball at the one-yard line. They would have punched in the touchdown, and the game would have been completely different.
Right. Did you think it was targeting?
I didn't think so, but it was a bang bang play, and I was watching the game, and the announcers didn't really go back and look at it. First of all, can we say this? Gus Johnson's fantastic, but the production level on Fox was terrible. Nothing good. Nice job dusting off Mike Pereira and making him work on a Saturday. But outside of that, I mean, there was just nothing.
Yeah, I think he came on one time near the end of the game.
Yeah, there was just nothing worth it. And there were no good replays. I mean, it was just the production quality was terrible, so it's hard to tell. The other thing that I thought was interesting about just watching this game at the bar, so the first couple that sat down next to me, sort of an older couple, they were from Ohio State. And they saw me in my Michigan State gear, and they said, "Yeah, you kind of ruined our season." I was like, "Yeah, sorry about that." She's like, "No, you're not." I was like, "Yeah, I'm not really." And they laughed, and she says, "Well, I hope you guys win today." And then they go, and then both of them say, "Well, the one thing we can all agree upon is we all hate Michigan." I was like, "Yeah, we can agree on that." So then the Ohio State couple leads, and a Penn State couple replaces them. And the Penn State couple is closer our age, DB. You know, I mean, they're right around our age. And so they see Michigan State gears. They're like, "Oh, we're rooting for you guys today. We want you to beat Iowa. We want you to go to the playoffs." I was like, "Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you." And I was like, "Yeah, and the one thing we can all agree upon is we all hate Ohio State." Like, "Yeah, we can agree on that, too." And so it was absolutely it was absolutely hilarious watching that game at the bar.
So,
you're
listening to Sparty Talk, blogtalkradio.com/Spartyon. And, of course, @SpartyTalk is our Twitter handle. Now, Satchmo, any more thoughts on the Iowa game? What did you think of that crazy interception there where the ball sort of bounced off of Riley Bulla's derriere and the other Spartan, whose name I'm forgetting now, catches the ball and it's a touchback? That was almost like divine intervention there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, the Iowa fans are still bitter about it, but I thought it was a good play. It was a bang-bang play. You can't really expect the refs to call that. And, yeah, that was when you had a sense that things might be going Michigan State's way, right? You get that sense. It's like, wow, how about that? You know, the Spartans catch a break. They get the turnover. And you just get the sense that if Michigan State hung around long enough, they would solve the Iowa defense. And that's pretty much what you were hoping for at some point. And it really did look like that at some point, I mean, when they took that 9-6 lead, and then they got a 9-6 lead in the second half, and they dominated the second half, and when they took that lead, it felt like, all right, Michigan State's starting to pull away. They get a 3 and out, they go down, maybe they get another field goal, they get a touchdown, and this ball game is over. And then you had that 75-yard touchdown play where Darian Hicks was actually, I think, in position to make a play. He doesn't make the play. The safety's not quite in position, and boom, it's a different game. You're like, oh, that's the last thing that needed to happen. And then you start to get worried a little bit.
Yeah. That was a worrisome moment. And then give Iowa some credit for some bazoombas there. They came right out and did it again, and it was a smart 15-yard penalty on the next drive.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
I was about to say, I mean, look, Iowa played well, and they're a good football team, and I'm happy they're going to the Rose Bowl and not Ohio State because I think they deserved it. I actually think that Iowa's the best football team we played this year. I think they're better than Ohio State.
I agree with you 100%. I agree. I think that was possibly the best quarterback the Spartans played all year right there in Bethard.
I don't know about that.
He's good. He's got a heck of an arm. I just thought, the Spartan defense did a good job. The front seven did a good job. I think against a weaker defense, he can really light it up, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was reasonably good. I don't know if he was the best quarterback we faced all season, but he was a pretty good quarterback. I mean, that 75-yard pass play made him look great. You're right. The Michigan State defensive line did a really good job controlling the game. I mean, Shalique Calhoun played out of his mind.
He did.
He was insane. I mean, he was in the backfield. It felt like almost on every play. And you had Lawrence Thomas coming around the other end. You had Malik McDowell coming up the middle. It was the strongest effort I've seen by the Michigan State defensive line all year. And they had a great game against Ohio State, and I thought this game was better. It needed to be that good because if it wasn't that good, the Michigan State offense wasn't in a position to outscore anyone in this game.
No, not at all. Now, one final comment on the game that just whirl around here in the last 8 minutes or so. But when Scott goes over the goal line with that ball, Satchmo, with that effort, that just was just unbelievable to me.
It was. And when he reached, I held my breath because there was an Iowa defender that just ran right past the ball.
Yeah.
And if it's an inch one way or the other, that ball comes out of there and it's a fumble. It was absolutely a remarkable effort. There was no doubt in my mind that Scott was getting the ball. And there was no doubt, and I wanted him to leap over the pile. That's what I thought he was going to do. And I have no doubt that if it was fourth down, he would have been leaping over the pile or they would have handed it off to him again.
It was pretty much, this is what we're going to do, stop us.
Yeah, and they had the heavy package in there. And now, you tell me, DB, I thought he was in right away. What did you think?
Oh, I thought he was in right away, too. I was just astounded with four black jerseys on him that he got across the line. I mean, that kid is strong. I mean, four Iowa defenders draped over him, and he has the presence of mind to not go down either. Like, you know, he held himself up. I mean, his knee never touched the ground. I don't think there was a doubt about that.
It was pretty remarkable. I was actually annoyed sort of a bit with the replay officials, man, replaying everything. Like that Connor Cook pick up on fourth down. It was clearly a first down. What on earth are you replaying? It's just, come on.
That was ridiculous. And they took an extraordinary amount of time to look at the Aaron Burbridge play where his foot went out of bounds or whatever. I just thought that.
And it was
that
clear
Aaron,
his foot went wrong. But at least they got the calls right. It's not like they hosed, not the way the ACC officials hosed North Carolina on that onside kick. The ACC is the only conference in the country that has worse officials than the Big Ten.
So looking ahead, we've got about 6 minutes left here, 5 minutes, but looking ahead a little bit now, we're going to have Clemson taking on Oklahoma. Spartans against Alabama. Just, you know, we'll talk more about this in the coming weeks. We'll have lots of time, but real quick first impressions on the Spartans and Alabama.
Good football game. I mean, Alabama's got Henry, who they want to hand it off to 40 times. Michigan's got a front seven that's going to. Did you see the Saban interview on ESPN? They said, how do you feel about handing the ball off to Henry 40 times? And Saban's like, oh, I feel good. The way he runs that, I feel real good. He says, you know, I don't want to do it, but then he wants to get in. He wants to get the ball, I feel good. And when I hand it off and I see what he does, I feel even better. He says, I feel good, and he feels good. We're all just feeling good. And it was just weird. I've never seen Loopy Saban before. But I actually think it's a good matchup for Michigan State. If you ask me who I would rather play out of the group, I'd rather play the team that struggles to throw the ball than the team that likes to throw the ball.
Alabama. Right. You know, there's nothing flashy here. I mean, it's going to be strength versus strength here, basically. Now, Connor Cook, you wonder, can Connor Cook do some damage against Alabama's secondary, I guess, is the thing.
Alabama's got a really good secondary. But
yeah,
you have to like Michigan State. Look, it's really intriguing matchups, right? You're talking about the strength of the Alabama offense, the offensive line and the running back, going against the strength of the Michigan State defense, the front seven. And then you're looking at an Alabama team that, you know, that can be beaten by the pass. Can give up some yards rushing on the ground, and you're looking at a Michigan State team with a balanced offense, and if Connor Cook is healthy and got that arm strength back, and you would certainly hope he gets that arm strength back between now and then, is in a position to take advantage. And so it's going to be a good football game. I think Michigan State as a team is much more prepared to handle this game than the last time they played Alabama, when Alabama just opened up a can on us.
That was a different time, a different Spartan team.
Yeah, different time, different Spartan team. I think this is going to be a really good football game. And I think it's going to be 24-20, 23-17, somewhere in there. You might see 100 combined points in the Oklahoma-Clemson, and you might not see 50 combined points in Michigan State-Alabama.
Yeah. Two different contrasting games. So real quick, Satchmo, you mentioned Iowa and the Rose Bowl. I'm very happy that they got to go to the Rose Bowl. It's not a bad consolation prize. They get to take on Stanford. That one, and then two others I draw your attention to. Ohio State gets to have Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. And
oh, I hope the Buckeyes beat the living daylights out of Notre Dame. Go Buckeyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all about the conference. Even pesky old Michigan, who we don't like, I'm fine if they beat Florida. I have no problem with that. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, because let's face it, the four most despicable fan bases in all of the United States are Notre Dame, Florida, Michigan, and Ohio State, probably in that order. And so Florida and Notre Dame have to lose. It's as simple as that. It doesn't matter where they're playing, when they're playing, who they're playing. Notre Dame and Florida need to lose.
All right, we'll talk more about the Bowls, too. The Big Ten is well represented, especially on New Year's Day. About a minute left here, Satchmo. Your thoughts now, real quick. The Spartan basketball team, Satchmo, at the same time as all the success of the football team, is number one in the country. What say you about that?
How about that, DB? I mean, when we were in school, tell me about it. Could you ever dream of a moment like this?
No, not at all. Not thinking back to those days, it just makes me laugh. There's no way I would have dreamed.
All right, we could almost like picture Michigan State being number one in basketball, right? Because we had good basketball teams back then.
Sure, that
you know, the
possible
Rocks
with Steve Smith in that time period. Yeah, you could see that possibly happening. Yet.
Yeah, you could see that possibly happening. But the football team? I mean, with Craig Thomas fumbling twice against Central Michigan in the goal line? No!
All we had out of that time period was two wins against Michigan. That was about it.
Yeah, then you had Nick Saban, and Nick Saban finally had the one good year in 99, 2000. And it's like, all right. And then you had Bobby Williams. Oh, and then you had John L. after that. It's just, there's no way. But now, look, Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antoni, they talk about this all the time. They dream about winning the national championship together in the same year.
That would happen. That would be so unbelievably special, Satchmo. It would be just, I can't even imagine it.
It could actually happen. Now, I'm not saying it's going to or we're definitely going to do it, but the fact that we're in position to actually have a shot at this, that's just unreal. It's stupefying. And how many schools, DB, can actually make the claim that they have a college football team and a college basketball team? How many schools can make the claim that, you want to know what, in any given year, both of those schools have a shot at the national championship?
So we had Ohio State came very close that time. And then we also had Florida do it, I believe.
Did Florida do the double?
Yeah, they did it in the same year as Bill Kamnoa. And then Florida faced Ohio State.
Yeah.
I think they beat Ohio State in both championships, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Tetchmo loves the Gators about as much as ready for this Minnesota Stadium in November.
Right. Oh, Pete Coltrane always gets his man. Come on, dude. No, I'm not kidding.
Oh, BB's going to want to host again now that he has access to the soundboard. Man. You're right, though. But Florida doesn't have that shot again now that Billy Donovan's gone. This is fantastic. And then the other cool thing is they like each other, right? D'Antonio and so they're good friends. They live a few doors down from each other. Wives are friends. They pop into each other's houses unannounced. The kids are friends. You know, Mark Hollis is part of the group, and their wives are friends, and their kids are friends, and, you know, get roommate situations. It's really weird, but it's really cool.
And they both learned a lot.
Did you see
Izzo
tell people not to burn any couches while celebrating?
So, wait a minute. I saw some video on Twitter after the win on Saturday of Santa Claus being thrown around, some guy in a Santa Claus outfit, which was hilarious. But are you saying that couches were not burned this time, or were?
I don't know if they were or they weren't. All I know is Izzo instructed the students not to burn any couches.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm curious to know if they listened. I guess we're going to have to go back and restart.
I don't know,
to get on it.
As you know, for at least a few years, my team name in fantasy football was Burning Couches.
That's right. Well, it is a special time to be a Spartan basketball and Spartan football fan, and Spartan fans enjoy it. We don't know where the ride is going to go, but regardless of what happens to both teams, it's special, and it will continue to be so.
Isn't it cool when people walk up to you, like, at a conference or on the street or, like, in airports and say, hey, I watched that game. That was so much fun, so cool. You guys are so awesome. I get that all the time now.
Yeah, me too. I'll tell you what, and at work, you know, people that knew nothing about Michigan State, especially football, 5 years ago, now are like, man, your teams, basketball too. They know. The Spartans are a brand name now, Satchmo. They get good ratings too. That's why they're on at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
Are they the 8 o'clock game?
They are the 8 o'clock game. They're the primetime matchup.
I just hope ESPN Game Day shows up. How did you feel when Corso picked us to win?
Not good, because when Corso picks teams to win, I feel like it's kind of jinxed a Rama. I think Spartan Nation wanted him to say Hawkeyes all the way.
Yeah, I think so, too. When I picked him, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And which was really funny, because I was in a cab listening to it on ESPN radio, and the cab driver looked at me and was like, why are you upset? You see, just picked your team. And I was like, yeah, it's jinxed, man.
We don't like that. We don't like that. It's like Dino Cook. We don't like that.
Dino Cook.
The only time, okay, so Mark Hollis should send a memo to Lee Corso telling him never to pick Michigan State except for one time, and that is when they're playing the University of Michigan on the Michigan State campus, he has full rights to put on the Spartan helmet and do that because he has to, because he's on the Michigan State campus. Even if the Spartans are the worst team in the country when game day is there, which wouldn't be possible because game day wouldn't be there, he can do it then. But that's it. That's the only time he's permitted to do it.
Yeah, but he picked Oregon when they were on campus.
Yeah, he did, which was good. I always like him to pick the other team. I'm pretty sure from the Twitter sphere and the interwebs, Satchmo, that everyone, including myself and you too, wanted him to say Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
When it was 13-9, Satchmo, I texted you. I thought the Hawkeyes were going to win the game.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I was really feeling Iowa right there in that moment. Before the drive, I was really feeling Iowa right there.
So do you think Urban Meyer ordered Kirk Ferentz any Papa John's pizza?
Man, but I'll tell you what, I bet the Fire Ferentz website started resurrecting themselves after the first loss of the season.
Oh.
What must the Iowa fans, must that wanted him gone, Satchmo, must really just be just crazy right now.
Yeah, well, I have the feeling they still want him gone.
Yes.
And this game was proof. They're like, you see, if we had a different coach, it would have been 13-0. I don't know, but
quick question. I know we're a little over. Here, quick question on Iowa.
Right.
Just to throw this out there, because we're not going to talk about Iowa that much anymore, but was Iowa the beneficiary? And I'm not degrading Iowa, because they're a really good team. They are one of the best teams in the Big Ten. They're right there with Michigan State and Ohio State. My question, though, is, was Iowa aided a lot by a little bit of a softer schedule in their own division? They didn't have to play Ohio State, Michigan State, or Michigan in the regular season.
Yeah, of course they were.
Yeah.
Because if they played that three-game schedule, they might come away with one loss.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, of course they were aided by that.
Yeah, I mean, they caught a Nebraska team, while good, not the best Nebraska team, and they had the benefit of the Michigan State tape to watch to make sure that didn't happen. And, of course, they did beat Wisconsin on the road, but that's, we found this year this is not the best Wisconsin team ever.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I think – yeah, ultimately, yeah, it's one of those things where, well, look, Michigan State defensive line. To me, the interesting thing about this entire season is the way the Michigan State defense changed after the Nebraska game. Part of it was getting Darian Hicks back healthy, right? And so they get a healthy corner. They're able to rotate Cox back to safety. They're able to play Calhoun as, I mean, on one side, and it just felt a lot better. So you got to like the way the secondary solidified. And then you have to take a look at the defensive line. And the defensive line played their best games after the Nebraska loss. So they came out and they dominated. That was the defensive line that everyone was expecting to see. And so it felt like the pieces were all starting to come together for that Michigan State defense. And so finally, and this happens, right? Your teams grow and get better as the season goes along. And so finally you saw Michigan State's defense at its best. They played a little less press coverage, went to a little more zone, played a little softer coverage to help on the secondary. And all of that stuff worked out really well. And then you combine that with the Michigan State offensive line finally getting healthy and getting the level of continuity, and all of a sudden you saw the Michigan State offensive line that people were expecting the entire season. And so you get that dominant offensive line combined with the dominant defensive line and the secondary finally gelling and coming together, and now you get the team that everyone expected to be a top 10 team throughout the season. It just took a while for a variety of different reasons to get there, and mostly injury. And so, yeah, this is a Michigan State team that's playing its best ball at the end of the year. And in that sense, it reminds me of the Tom Izzo basketball teams, right? Tom Izzo basketball teams play their best as the playoffs come on, as the tournament season rolls on. They finally gel. They finally get it going. They finally put it together, and they're peaking at the right time. And I feel like Michigan State football is doing that right now. It's peaking at the right time, and everything is gelling. And if they can just get Connor Cook's shoulder healthy, anything is possible.
You know, Satchmo, that's a great point, too, about how they're playing like the basketball team at the right time of the year. And that's and another point, too, about Cook, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks. But he has some time to rest that shoulder a little bit. And, if we have a completely healthy Connor Cook in this game against Alabama, I think the sky's the limit here. I mean, I think the Spartans could walk out of this Cotton Bowl again with a huge victory, this time even more huge than last time.
Yeah, and I think it helps that we played there once. I think it helped that we played there last year.
Yeah, it'll feel very familiar to this team. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. They've been there. They've got good feelings about the stadium. They'll go in. They'll feel comfortable. They're going to go in as the underdog, which they like. They can have that chip on their shoulder because everyone's telling them they're going to lose. And so, yeah, I like where Michigan State's at. I like it. And I like the fact that they jumped Oklahoma to get the 3 seed. They earned it. If you take a look at the non-conference schedule, if you take a look at the conference schedule, they earned it. And so,
good for the
playoff committee for putting them in there, number three, and good for Michigan State getting there. And it's sort of another sign of respect, right? Michigan State started the season ranked fairly highly, which they normally don't do. They got the one loss, and in previous years, one loss would have shot Michigan State down the rankings, and that didn't happen. They stayed highly ranked, and when they pulled off the upset against Ohio State, all of a sudden they were back in the playoff discussion. They were treated like a power program, and that's sort of where we're at with Michigan State football right now. They're approaching that power program territory, and that's a really good feeling. In fact, the only people that don't seem to realize there are power programs, the media.
Yeah. All right. You know, that was huge that they got put in the 3 spot, too. It surprised me, actually. But then I thought about it, and what a great sign of respect, not only to Michigan State, but to Iowa, and also the conference, and kind of like the Big Ten, here we go. And Oklahoma, you know what? All I can say is Oklahoma probably doesn't mind because they're like, all right, we'll take our chances against Clemson in the first round. That's fine. And Oklahoma,
oh,
Big 12, Big 8, or whatever they are
Clemson,
now. You,
Clemson beat the living daylights out of them in the bowl game last year. This is a revenge game for Oklahoma.
Yeah. But they need a conference championship. I mean, they need to start dinking around. And, you know, they have a sort of a – leading conference here. I mean, everyone's kind of left them, and
So I'm not really buying this conference championship thing. I think that's some sort of a media creation, right? Because what the championship game does is it just gives you an extra week, extra high profile game. That's all it does. There's a value in what the Big 12 does. The Big 12, everyone plays everyone else, so you can't dodge an opponent the way. Look, if Iowa wins, right, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Iowa, who only played one good team in their conference, or would you rather have Oklahoma that had to beat everyone in their conference?
Well, in that scenario, you'd rather have Oklahoma in.
Yeah, and so that's why this whole you need a conference championship game. I get it from the TV standpoint, right? And it makes it feel better to say, yes, you're the conference champ because you won the conference championship game. On the other hand, the Big 12, they have to play each other. They have to play – every team plays each other. And so if Oklahoma wins the conference outright, that means they beat everyone in their conference. And to me, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. And so I don't necessarily agree that they need a conference championship. I think the one thing that not having a conference championship does is that one weekend where everyone else is playing and has that extra high profile game, they're sitting at home. And it makes it easy to forget about them.
What's interesting about Michigan State, Alabama, and Oklahoma is each one of them has three respective teams looking at them, going, we beat you guys. Michigan State has Nebraska as their bad mark. Alabama has Ole Miss, a good team. And then Texas, of all things, a less-than-great Texas team right now anyways, beat Oklahoma this year.
Texas had a weird year, right? They beat Baylor, they beat Oklahoma, and they beat someone else. Yet they're 5-7.
Yeah, Texas is interesting. There's a lot of Longhorns, and the little shaky ground there for Charlie Strong, but I think the Texas contingent realizes they've got to give him a chance.
Yeah.
So he's only his second year there, but anyway.
Yeah. I kind of like Charlie Strong's honesty. He's like, yeah, I can't figure this team out either. I wish I knew. And I kind of like that.
Well, you know, Satchmo, I forgot this until recently, but Shaka Smart coaches the basketball team down there. And so the slogan down there is smart and strong.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's a good marketing campaign.
Yeah, that is a good marketing campaign.
We need to have a combo like that for D'Antonio and Izzo, like is Tonio or something like that, or Dan Izzo.
Danzo.
It sounds like a new character on Hawaii 5-0.
Book of Danzo.
Danzo. Book of Danzo.
sounds like the new lead actor on the remake of Who's the Boss?
Angela. I think, Satchwald, you've got to find Tony Danza soundbite for our audio clips here. I think we need to work that in once in a while.
Yeah, I think we do.
I think that's your next assignment. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I will track down Angela.
Oh my God. Well, Satchwa totally kept you from your overtime here. So, any final thoughts before we go here?
No, except that. Can I just say I really hate Dallas, and I know we're playing there, and we had a good win, and all that sort of stuff, and it's comfortable surroundings, and I'm glad we should be happy we're in the college football playoffs, and you know happy we have the 3 seed, and happy that we're playing Dallas. I mean, happy that we're playing Alabama, and happy that we're playing in Dallas in this wonderful, brand new, gorgeous stadium that everyone's going to watch the game on the big screen on the Jumbotron anyway. But I really hate Dallas.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, real quick. The reason why, and I agree, the reason why it's a little bit different this time, Satchmo, last year we weren't in this, but this time, Satchmo, we're going to Dallas because we're in the...
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's just what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it does feel better that we're in the playoffs and not in the Cotton Bowl, so that's sort of good. But I just hate Dallas.
I know, it's expensive. It's really not nice in late December, early January. I mean, we saw the forecast last year when the Spartans played Baylor there, and it was like 40 and ice.
Yeah, it's just like the South Beach.
Not appealing weather-wise.
Nicer. Yeah, no, it's not appealing otherwise.
I mean, I think I would have reveled in it if, you know, we had been able to go to Pasadena again or New Orleans or Miami or one of those.
Yeah. But, hey, we're in the playoffs. So
we are, and you can't beat that. Yes, absolutely. It's great to be in the conversation, and that's a credit to Mark D'Antonio.
It is, and apparently he did some dabbing during his dancing in the post-game celebration, and I just wish I had video of that.
Oh, my gosh. I heard that was fantastic. By the way, Satchmo, real fast, speaking of post-game celebrations, what do you think of all the scuttlebutt of Connor Cook taking the trophy away from the mighty legend Archie Griffin?
All right, you got to admit, it looked terrible, right?
Yeah, it did. He's like on the ground to throw him. But you know, the fact is, I don't know if Connor Cook really knows who Archie Griffin is. You know, it was just
he knows who Archie Griffin is. Look, I think Connor Cook just got caught up in the moment. You know, he was back there, and he heard his name, and he didn't think he was getting the trophy, and just he just walked up and grabbed the trophy, and he wanted to hold it up and share it with his teammates, and he just didn't handle the moment well. And you want to know what? That happens sometimes when you're 21 years old and you just win a big game. And, you know, kudos to him for realizing what he'd done and going on the Big Ten Network and apologizing. And kudos to him for calling up Archie Griffin and having a conversation and apologizing to him in person. So I think in the aftermath, Connor Cook handled it correctly and did the right things. And you give the kid a pass.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is you know, it's I don't know. It's just a minor thing. It got blown out of proportion. It's kind of amusing, actually, because he didn't do it maliciously. You know what I mean? It wasn't like Desmond Howard was handing him the trophy and he punched him out or something.
Gave him a high five.
This would have been hilarious.
That would have been funny.
I would have laughed if Desmond Howard handed him the trophy and he just threw him off the dais.
Oh, that would have been so funny.
I would have said, this is for your whining about the trip in the end zone, you bastard. And just pushed him off. I would never want to see that coming.
Yeah, Desmond's still bitter about that, isn't he?
Oh, my God. Michigan fans are bitter because we didn't vote for him in 19. Michigan fans are... I'm sorry?
No, finish your thought.
I said Michigan fans are still bitter because the Spartans didn't vote for them in 1973 to go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Michigan fans still think they won the Michigan State game this year.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. And Brady Hoke and Rich Rod were never the coaches.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, did you see what the Detroit Free Press did? It just annoyed the living daylights out of me. So for the Michigan-Ohio State game, they dust off Mitch Albom and have him write a column. And good for him. You know, Mitch Albom's a good column, so they have him write a column, right? Mm. Big Ten championship game. Playoff qualifier. You'd think they'd dust off Albom again. Nah, they gave him the week off. Why? Come on.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Why do we have to read Drew
Sharp? He should be in Indianapolis for the game. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
I mean, you talk about bias. I mean, so when people talk about bias, it's the little things like that. And they think we don't notice, but we do.
Yeah.
It's terrible. You know, but, you know, if Mitch Albom's writing the column, he's probably going to make up something about students being that aren't. So maybe it's a good thing.
Well, in fairness.
Huh?
In fairness, though, Mitch Albom has written a lot of favorable columns over the year about Tom Izzo and the basketball team.
Oh, yeah, but I was referring to the one where he pretended Mateen Cleaves and someone else was in the audience when they weren't actually there.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a black eye to Mr. Albom. Yeah, that made you wonder if Tuesdays with Maury was really Mondays with Mindy or something.
Yeah, made you wonder whether Tuesdays with Maury's was actually Monday, Wednesdays, and an occasional Tuesday.
Mondays at the Dunkin' Donuts, making this up. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, but it's good. We're in the playoffs. We're happy. This is good. And we're number one in basketball.
Playoffs?
We're happy.
Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
And we have a top five debate team.
Oh, really? Okay, this is something I didn't hear.
Yeah, they put out like a sign or one of these Facebook things that said, you know, that showed about the different things, and that was one of them. So I was like, that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Satch Road is a great time to be a Spartan. It always is great to be a Spartan no matter what, but this is such a great, great time to be a Spartan.
It is the golden era. It really is the golden age. It's pretty cool. I'm going to savor the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think as you watch this football team play, you know, win or lose coming up in these next game or maybe next two games, and then the basketball team will grab our attention, and even the women's basketball team to some degree, just enjoy all this stuff. It's great. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it, Satchmo.
I think that does it.
All right, so now Satchmo, live on the air, remind DB, what's his closing, is it the gang intro and close, is that what we do, or is it the fight song?
No, the fight song.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, because this is my fight song, like the woman that sings the song, this is my fight song, this is your fight song.
Yeah.
So we're going to close it out here, Satchmo
yep,
will
fight
say
song,
goodbye.
And after the fight, yep, Satchmo will say goodbye. And after the fight song is over, don't forget to hit the end episode button.
That's right. And everyone, enjoy this rebroadcast of the podcast wherever you hear it. And it's at Sparty Talk on Twitter. And for right now, until the coming weeks, we say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.